prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, and think this is going to sound really good for you today. So happy anniversary to some people that I know that it's their anniversary. And pray that they have a wonderful day, a blessed day. And it's hard to believe that that much time has gone by that quickly, but it truly has. I tell people all the time, don't blink. Don't blink. I told a pastor not too long ago, I said, how old are you? And he told me, and I said, you're two blinks away from being exactly where I am. So don't blink. If you've got kids, there's two things that I tell parents of newborn children, and the first one is this: don't lie to yourself and cause yourself to think that the next stage is going to be easier than the current stage. It'll be different, but you're going to have to lean upon God just as much in the next stage as you have in this stage that you are in. In fact, you may need to lean upon God more in the next stage. The second thing that I tell them is don't blink, because that little bundle of joy that you're holding in your arms today and they can't even hardly hold their head up are just a few short days away from, graduating high school and driving a car and you know, having a career and all of that sort of stuff. If you're not careful, the busyness of life will cause you to miss the joy of watching that child develop and other things in your life develop. So whether you're a pastor or a parent, whether you're just getting started in your career, or you're just historically procrastinating and think we're going to do this another time, don't procrastinate. Enjoy the season that God has placed you in. Make the most out of that season for the glory of God. So I want to give a shout out today to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes. Their phone number is 321-208-2281, 321-208-2281. Dan has done a great job on my home. He and his team have been a great blessing at our church as well, and accomplished some things. To do some of the things that they've done at church, I would have had to have spent hours researching on the internet, how do we solve this problem. I would have had to have gone out and bought special tools for some of the projects that they've done. And then I would have had to have gone out and found out where you could buy the materials and all of that sort of things. A much easier and better path for me was to call Coastal Image Landscapes. And Dan listens to the Refresh radio program. And the next thing I know, he's got all the materials. He comes out, looks at the situation we discussed where we want to go. He says, this is what we need to do, and that's what we end up doing. And he and his team have done a great job. So no complaints with what he's done at my house, no complaints with what he's done at church, and is one of the most highly recommended people when it comes to some of the Facebook pages that I'm on. That's how I came to meet him. I said, hey, who do y'all recommend for this and that? And there were three names, and Dan and his team, Coastal Image Landscapes, they ended up being absolutely phenomenal. There are no regrets whatsoever for making that choice. The others that came out didn't even bother to return a phone call. They came out and looked at the scope of the job and said, nah, we'll get back with you February the 30th. Dan and his team came out and recognized my voice, and man, they have been just a real joy to work with, and I pray that they will be a joy for you to work with as well. So give them a call. They will put their expertise to good work, and your project will come out looking beautifully. So tonight we're going to be having adult Bible study at 7. We're going to have youth group at 7. We'd love to encourage you. Hey, young people, it's not going to be that long until school's back in session. Parents, start praying now. Over the past couple of years, schools have been kind of contentious. Wouldn't it be great if a revival broke out in our school and that there was no strife, no discord, and that everybody was on the same page when it came to loving God and wanting Him to be the Lord of their life. So start praying for our school year right now. That would be greatly appreciated. So we're going through the book of Job right now, and we are looking at, we're in Job chapter 39, and we're talking about some of the questions with which God challenges Job. So we're going to read verses 9 through 30 here, 9 through 30. It says, "Will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Will he bed by your manger? Can you bind the wild ox in the furrow with ropes? Or will he plow the valleys behind you? Will you trust him because his strength is great? Or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are her wings and pinions like the kindly stork's? For she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust, and she forgets that a foot may crush them, or that a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain and without concern, because God deprived her of wisdom and did not endow her with understanding. When she lifts herself on high, she scorns the horse and its rider." I tell you what, we're going to stop the reading for right there and just spend some time talking about that. I'm not sure we'll get past that point. So the question that God begins to ask here in verse number 9 is this: "Can you compel the animal kingdom to serve you so that you trust them to accomplish your will? Can you compel the animal kingdom to serve you so that you trust them to accomplish your will?" So it says, "Will the wild ox be willing to serve you?" When we were a kid, we had some Jersey bulls. They weren't very big. They were actually steers, I believe, now that I think about it. But they weren't very big. And one of my daughter's friends came over, and you got to remember, you could see civilization from our house, but that was about it. It was about a mile walk to the bus stop for me. And on the way home, I would stop by in high school. There would be horses in the pasture right next to where we lived. And we'd spend some time praising the Lord. The horses would gather there at the corner of the fence, and I'd start singing worship songs that we'd sang in youth group the night before. And they didn't complain about my singing. And so all of that was fine, well, and good. But the one thing that I remember about those Jersey steers was that one of my sister's friends decided that she would try and ride one. They were big enough that you could get on, and but they weren't, you know, like rodeo size or anything like that. And even at that young age, that Jersey steer, let it be known, I am not in agreement here with what you are wanting me to do. And that cow took off and started running around the barbed wire fence, and there ended up being a huge gash that young lady had in her left leg, because that Jersey bull or steer was not going to comply with her. Back in the day, They outgrew that, and we rented a pasture, and we'd go down and feed them. And we had a Chevy Blazer that was massive. It wasn't like the little micro Blazer, you know, or the GMC Jimmy or whatever. It was as wide as a full-size pickup truck, wasn't quite as long. And those Jersey steers, when we came into the pasture to feed them, even though we were there to take care of them and nourish them, they would just headbutt this Chevy Blazer. And so there was all sorts of damage that got done to it and all that, because we couldn't even control a cow. Now, my uncle, or my grandfather's cousin, I guess would be we called him uncle, but he raised Jersey dairy cows, and so that's where we got them. But he dealt primarily with the females, and he would milk them morning and night. By the way, anybody that thinks that you've ever done hard work, I encourage you, work on a dairy farm for a little bit. And where you don't get a day off, you've got to go out there and you've got to take care of those cows and make sure that they're milked twice a day, 7 days a week. It is very, very hard work. But the thing that was fascinating about them was those cows had realized that he was on their side and he was working for their benefit, and he had named them all. He would call them by name, and even if they were in the back, he knew exactly the sequence that they were supposed to be milked in. And so he would call them, didn't matter where they were, all the other cows would part like the Red Sea, and here this dairy cow would come up and stand just as still as it could be while it was being milked and got to eat and all that. Those are domesticated animals. God says, can you do that in the wild? I think a miracle that's often overlooked is Jesus rides a donkey into town, and it says that on that donkey never a man had sat. Let me tell you, that was the only reason that he could do that was because of his sovereignty. And that donkey said, I've never had it. I mean, you take an animal that's never been ridden before, you put a saddle on it and watch it go nuts. It thinks that is something that needs to come off of there really, really quickly. And Jesus rode that donkey into town as the first person who had ever been there. God's sovereignty, he says, it not only extends to domesticated animals, it extends to wild animals. A lot of times people forget that wild animals are wild. They look cute. Pandas look cute, but they're anything but timid. You don't want to find yourself on the wild side of a panda. You don't want to find yourself on the wrong end of an agitated deer. I don't care if you call it Bambi or not. They are quite aggressive and defensive, especially when spooked. He says, will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Will he bed by your manger? Can you bind the ox with furrow and ropes? Will he plow the valleys behind you? Will you trust him because his strength is great? Or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? Can you compel all of that to be done without bridles, without yokes? Can you trust that animal to do what you want done and make him do it because he realizes it is in his own best interest? And the answer, no, I can't do that. God says, I can. I can. If you find a situation out of control in your life, I don't care if it's a storm, I don't care if it's a sickness or a disease, I just want to build your faith today. There is nothing in all of creation that God cannot speak to and bring it into a line with his purpose and his plan. So if you drop down to verse number 13 through 18, he begins to talk about the ostrich, and there's just a few things that I want to say, and that is this. She lays her eggs, but she forgets how vulnerable they are. She forgets how vulnerable they are. Says she doesn't realize that a foot may crush them or a wild beast may break them. And so she has placed them in a position where the likelihood of traumatic injury or death is increased simply because she does not have the wisdom to protect her young. We as humans are charged with the responsibility of training up our children in the way that they should go. If you don't have the wisdom to parent and not put your kids in harm's way, you'd better find a Bible. You'd better start reading it. You'd better start studying how to be a parent. You can't just wing this. Your children are an extremely precious gift from God. And you and I, we need to position ourselves to where we set our children up to succeed, not to fail. We want to set our children up to succeed in their relationship with God. Okay? We don't want them to die. I will tell you, failure is something that can sometimes be a great teacher. And so we would tell our kids when they were growing up what was expected out of them. But they didn't always come through. But what we did was we tried to control the environment so if they failed in an area and they could learn from that failure, it was not in an area that would prove devastating to their life. I know some parents that they were constantly coming to the rescue of their kids, and their kids never learned when they were young the consequences of failure. I didn't want my kids to fail in an area that could have been fatal. And so there was one of my children that we prayed extensively for. God was merciful, protected them even in some very dangerous situations due to the responsibilities of their job. And we prayed, and one day they said something about what they, you know, some of the things that they found entertaining. And I said, please don't tell me that. Please don't tell me things like that. I said, I had enough faith to pray for you about the dangers that I knew that you were facing there. But I don't really want to position myself to have to pray for you through stupid decisions that you may make here. And so I would share information with them. And, thankful all three of my children are actively engaged in the ministry. And so I guess really the point of this little section we're talking about is make sure that you are not so focused on yourself that you make foolish decisions when it comes to your children. It says, verse number 16, she treats her young harshly as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain and without concern. We see way too much of that. There are far too many people in Brevard County who've had a similar number of birthdays to what I've had, but they've never grown up. They're still making the same mistakes that they made as an adolescent, as a teenager. They they've really never gotten beyond that. Yes, they've got kids, and here's what happens a lot of times. They demand respect from their children because they're the parent, but they're only really the parent because of biology, because they've never gotten to the place where they are concerned about the well-being of their child. And so they treat their young harshly. They don't even treat them as if they have any link to them at all. And it says that all of her work is in vain. That's what it says here about this ostrich. It says that the reason that that is the case is because she has no wisdom and no understanding. Okay, here's a confession for you. My wife and I, we've been successfully married for several decades. And that's a testament to the grace of God, because there were many things early in our marriage that neither one of us were really prepared for. We didn't get to go through marriage counseling, so no one prepared us for the reality that we were coming from different cultures, that we were coming from different economic situations, that we were coming from different food styles, that we were coming from different ways of financial management. You know, she came from an area that had mass transit and didn't know how to drive, and I came from a place that you had to learn how to drive very quickly. There were a lot of things. When adversity kicked in, we found out that there were different ways of dealing with tragedy. And so much of our early marriage came, you know, if there was a problem, it was generally this, that we didn't have the wisdom or the understanding that was necessary on how to navigate through that principle. There were things I learned from her. Actually, you know, quite honestly, she was the one who grew up in an environment where tithing was highly regarded and highly practiced. Tithing was something I kind of grew into. It wasn't that I had never done that, and I did, and I was tithing, but it was not as deeply ingrained in me as it was in her. So thank God. Recognize the giftings that are in other people. And it says, when she lifts herself on high, she scorns the horse and its rider. Verse number 19 says this: have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage, nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet is sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, aha! He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings to the south? Okay, so let's just stop there. Verse number 25, we'll pick up on 26 later. And God here says, do you understand the strengths and the weaknesses of each of the animals of creation? So here he's specifically talking about the strength of the horse. Before he was talking about the weaknesses of the ostrich. Let me tell you just a little something about horses. Thoroughbreds are a highly volatile breed of horses. They are built to run. There are other horses that are there for battle purposes. They're fast and things like that. My wife and I, we were the entire family, the very first full 1 week vacation we took as a family that wasn't designed to go visit her family or my family. We went to Virginia and we ended up in Williamsburg. And we are walking down historic streets, and you know, it's very archaic, you know, home construction and working techniques and all of this, and we're walking down the fence line, and there happens to be this horse that is there, and it just reaches out and bites my wife. She hadn't reached her hand over to pet it or anything like that. It just reached up and bit her because it could. And I was like, oh no. I mean, so she kind of stays away from that. She was a city girl. She didn't grow up around horses, but there was nothing about her behavior that day that should have prompted that. There was just something in the horse that said, you know what? I'm going to let you know that my presence is here. The horse here says, can you frighten him? A horse is pretty much fearless. It says, when his majestic snorting strikes terror, all of a sudden people look across. It says he gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened. He doesn't turn his back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him. Battle does not intimidate him. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage. He doesn't halt because the trumpet is sounded. He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. God says, do you understand the strengths and weaknesses? Because I do. Hey, let me close out today's broadcast by asking this question of you. Do you understand your strengths and your weaknesses? Because we all have them. Mercy is my primary gifting, but it's not my only gifting. And so every once in a while, somebody moves to that place where they don't need mercy, they need exhortation. And when I shift into that mode, all of a sudden they say, what happened? You know, we're so used to just being able to walk over you. You've got to know your limitations. Maybe as a matter of prayer today, you can say, God, would you help me to understand my own strengths and my own weaknesses? We'll see you tomorrow. Right
here. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Story, 'cause I know that you call me. I know that you call me. I lost myself for good within your promise.